ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Hare Krishna. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Advaita Jambhya Jai Gaura Mathavarinda. Srila Prabhupada Ki. So we continue this afternoon with the fifth verse or fifth shloka of the Shishi Shastaka, which is Lord Chaitanya's prayer to the left for us, to help us to become better devotees, to understand the deeper aspects and the feelings that go with loving devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, the text is from Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Lila, chapter 20, text 33. That also is the same as the fifth verse of Shishi Shastaka. So Antya Lila 20:33. So please repeat after me. Ai Nanda Tanuja Kinkaram Patitam Mam Vishame Pavamudau Kripaya Tava Pada Pankaja, Stita, Duli, Sadrisham, Vichintaya, Ai, O my Lord, Nanda Tanuja, the son of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna, Kinkaram, the servant, Patitam, fallen, Mam, me, Vishame, horrible, Baba Ambudau, in the ocean of nations, Kripaya, by causeless mercy, Tava, your, Pada, Pankaja, lotus feet, Stita, situated at, Duli Sadrisham, like a particle of dust, Vichintaya, kindly consider. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, O Krishna, son of Nanda Maharaj, I am your eternal servant, but because of my own fruitive acts, I've fallen into this horrible ocean of nations. Now, please, be causelessly merciful to me. Consider me a particle of dust at your lotus feet. So please repeat after me. O my Lord,
O my Lord,
O Krishna,
O Krishna,
son of Maharaj Nanda,
son of Maharaj,
I am your eternal servant. But because of my own fruitive acts,
I have fallen
into this horrible ocean of nations. Now please be causelessly merciful to me. Consider me a particle of dust at your lotus feet. So, the text, Om Agnatmiranyasya Gyana Agnashalakaya Chakshu Umbilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swaparatikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Peshtaya Bhutale Srimadi Bhaktivedanta Swamiti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharini Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatyadi Sitarini Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Padayati Vishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namni Kurat Seva. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivacharya Gaura Bhaktavinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, the translation again, O my Lord, O Krishna, son of Nanda Maharaj, I'm your eternal servant. But because of my own fleeting acts, I've fallen into this horrible ocean of nations. Now please, be causelessly merciful to me and consider me a particle of dust at your lotus feet. So this is a very powerful shloka. There's a number of things that's being talked about here. It sounds very simplistic, but it's also quite complex. So the topic centers around the knowledge of the living entity's original spiritual identity. So the verse describes the ocean of birth and death. And we in the material world who are conditioned souls haven't fallen into that ocean. So in this fallen condition, we are in a precarious condition or an insecure, unreliable, these are all synonyms of precarious, unpredictable. And so we obviously in a situation like this, we need help. We need help. But this shloka helps us to appreciate our ultimate identity as servants. Lord Chaitanya puts it this way. Please place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. When we are at the feet of the Lord, then that's clearly we are in a servant situation. People who are controllers won't sit at the feet of anybody else. At least they don't like to. Let's put it that way. So this helps us, this shloka helps us to appreciate our ultimate identity. So, sometimes when people that are not Krishna conscious hear us pray such prayers, we've fallen into the ocean of, that ocean is doom, unhappiness. And they say, but we're enjoying ourselves. We make money, we buy the things we want to buy. And you guys say that you're in a situation that's difficult. So, they call us gloomy people. We don't appreciate the beautiful body. Well, we do appreciate beauty, but we also realize that the body is temporary. And also the body goes through harassment. And we feel it because we have senses. And so we feel the harassment the body gives us. Sickness. Disease. So no matter what it is that we think the body is, the body doesn't give us the ultimate enjoyment. The ultimate enjoyment. Because one, it is temporary. And two, the things around this particular creation cause problems to us. Germs come inside our bodies. Sometimes we think in terms of us getting sick because germs have come inside our body. But we don't think about the fact that the germs are also living entities. And when they come inside our bodies, we kill them. The body is also gives them hell. They are also living entities. So all around, they try to give us problems, and them being around us, we also can take their lives. So when we look at the situation in this material world, from a spiritual standpoint, it is not the best situation for us, or even for the germs too. And for that matter, all the living entities. We have plenty of intelligence. How much intelligence does the germs have? But they are alive, and we are also alive. The consciousness is far lower than us. So in that sense, people who are trying to enjoy themselves and say, oh, well, body is nice, we can make it nice, we can do all kinds of things. That may be, but only up to a point. Old age can set in, disease can set in. And so after a while, the body doesn't really stay. It inevitably comes to an end. And it doesn't matter whether we're wealthy, whether we're famous, whether we're tall, we're short, thin, big, male, female, whatever it is. The physical body that we have will come to an end. After some point, the soul, which is inside the body, will have to vacate that body. So lifespan is getting shorter and shorter as Kali Yuga progresses, the age of quarrel. Right now, the average around the world is, and this is about 54 to 75 years old. The places where there are wars, the expectancy has come down to about 40, 42 years. This is taking the average. So it is a difficult planet that we live in, and we ourselves, the human beings, most of the time create the difficulty, especially when it comes to wars. That's human beings. The animals have nothing to do with it. The insects have nothing to do with it. Still, even if we live up to 70 years or past that, that lifespan is still short. Many of us are even mid-age or close to it. Even those in their 20s, it doesn't take long. Believe me, those of us that are well past the 20s, we look back, and at the time we're 20s, it doesn't seem a long time ago. It really doesn't seem that way. So the normal lifespan is not really that long. Now, in spiritual life, we look beyond the body because the body is temporary. The soul is inside the body. The soul is the real live personality, for lack of a better word. The soul never dies. The soul cannot be hurt in any kind of way. In any kind of way. Even in wars, as Krishna was explaining to Arjuna, those souls that will leave their bodies will do just that, leave their bodies, but the souls will still be alive. So the soul never dies. So, Lord Chaitanya, who wrote this 8th verses, and we're talking about the 5th one today, Lord Chaitanya speaks out, "My position is that I am your eternal servitor." Your means Krishna, your eternal servitor. So Lord Chaitanya, who is Radha Krishna combined, God himself, speaks in the mood of a devotee so that we can understand what it is like that the devotee is supposed to think and act. So he's speaking in the mood of, a devotee. Even though I'm eternally yours, first he establishes, I'm your eternal servitor, Krishna. But even though I'm eternally yours, and even though we have an eternal connection, and even though our situation involves an eternal bond of love and devotion, we're supposed to be serving the Lord forever. This is how we get happy as souls. Matter of fact, happy is an understatement. Bliss. The highest happiness comes from serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Somehow, in my situation, I've fallen. I've fallen from that place, the spiritual world, where the real happiness is, and now I'm in the material world, having to work hard, having to get things to live on based on the body, and the things are temporary, and the body itself is temporary, and I'm trying to manage, thinking that I'd be able to be the Lord of everything I survey, but it didn't quite happen that way. We've seen other people who've been quite wealthy, but Disease bothered them, and death came to take them away in the end. If you know of any famous personality, and you like that personality because of whatever their talent is, that you can, sometimes it's music, sometimes it's dance, sometimes whatever it is. After a while, especially if they're older than you, as you grow and older, they're getting older and older, and one day you find out, oh, this person is gone. There are many, many, many people that generally, you know, people looked up to them because they became popular somehow, famous somehow. And then it's announced around the world, this person is no longer around. They're gone. So life is like that. It's temporary. And we are in a fallen situation. So then Lord Chaitanya pleads, please pick me up from this ocean of death and situate me as an atom at your lotus feet so that I can have what? Eternal life. We do not have to be back here in this material world when the Lord hears our prayer. So then Lord Chaitanya pleads, please pick me up from this ocean of death and situate me, put me at as an atom at your lotus feet. We are minute parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead anyway. But the right consciousness is to be at the feet of the Lord. That is what gives us the mood of humility. Humility. And humility is very, very important in Krishna consciousness. In order to be able to serve the Lord properly, we have to be in a humble mood. Now, humble or humility does not mean that we become a doormat for people to step on us and use us as they like. The mood should be mood of respect for ourselves and respect for others. Now, we shouldn't, as the text before that, Trinada Pichni Tena, Tarara Vasa Ishtuna, Amadina Manadena, Ketaniya Sadahari. In order to chant the holy name of the Lord, we should be tolerant like a tree, humble like a blade of grass, and importantly, we were talking about respect. Give others respect, but don't demand respect. Give others respect, but don't demand respect. Some people more than likely will respect you. Some people may respect me. Now, I shouldn't go around saying that, but this person didn't respect me, they didn't know who I am. That kind of thought is not thought for humility. So that has to go. Sometimes, those kind of thoughts come in our minds, play with our minds, but that's our false ego that's kicking in and we're demanding things. Anytime that somebody does something good for you, you may thank them, but you also should thank Krishna, because a real devotee thinks, I don't deserve that kind of assistance. I don't deserve that kind of respect. I don't deserve, and we say, well, why are we thinking that way? Now, no wonder Hare Krishna's are looked at as morbid. So we can't even deserve these kind of things. But then when we think about it deeply, what is our home? Our home is a spiritual world. Who asked us to come here then? And face all kinds of problems. Who asked us to come here? We did that on our own. As a matter of fact, Srila Prabhupada explained in answer to a question, he had just come from traveling, devotees had brought him from the airport to a temple, I forget the place, and I saw the video though, and then just see there, I think it was Australia, I forget the city. And a reporter was there, and the reporter knew some things that the Hare Krishnas were talking about. So he asked you the power part. So, God is so nice, we hear, but then why did he put us here? Then Sri Prabhupada says, we forced his hand. We forced his hand. See, sometimes, I mean, I will admit, you know, some years back, my understanding of Christian consciousness and why souls fall from the material world to the spiritual world is, if you envy Krishna, then you don't deserve to be in the spiritual world, because how can you envy somebody you're supposed to serve? So then we get put into this situation. But Srila Prabhupada, the way he answered it made me think twice about it, because that's only half the story. Krishna doesn't want anybody that's in the spiritual world to come to the material world and be a prisoner here. He doesn't. He doesn't. We challenge his position. We cannot do that. That's called envy. And therefore, he put us here, but there was warning. There was warning. And that's the part that I hadn't heard much of. When Srila Prabhupada said, we forced his hand, meaning that he would let you know that where you're headed to, you want to be the controller yourself, you'll wind up in the material world. And he lets you know in so many words, that, or in so many ways, that the material world is not going to be a good place for you to be. He actually lets you know ahead of time. But then if people just, I want to go anyway, I want to be controller, then it's all right. But then you can go. So no one should say, but Krishna was so, so heavy with us. Krishna is loving. We wanted to go against Krishna's program. He is a supreme controller. And now we wound up here. Now, the situation we're in now is not as bad, because right now, through the spiritual master's help and guidance, we're beginning to understand that we made a big mistake. And so Lord Chaitanya came, God himself, Radha and Krishna combined. That shows how much loving the Supreme Personality of Godhead is. We are prisoners in the material world, yet he spent time here trying to get people to go back and be in a situation where they'll be happy forever, live eternally, the soul doesn't die, all knowledge is there, and the life will be very blissful. That's the way it was. We just tried to get to Krishna's level, and that's why we wound up here. But go back to that situation. And in this age of Pura, which is the most difficult of the four age cycles, the process is to hear, to serve, and also to chant the holy name of the Lord. And so Lord Chaitanya commanded us to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Two things that Hare Krishna Mahamantra does, apart from others. When we chant Krishna's name, we hear ourselves chanting Krishna's name. We chant out, so you hear. When you hear Krishna's name, you will remember Krishna. And Krishna has said in Bhagavad Gita, if you remember Krishna, you will go to him in the Krishna's abode. That is the spiritual world, the solution to all our problems. So when we chant and chant from our hearts, then Krishna realizes that we not only are calling his name, but now we want to come back to him, back to the situation that we were before in the spiritual world. Now, the other part of it is the very meaning of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Dear Radha, dear Krishna, Radha female form, Lord, the internal potency of the Lord as a personality. Dear Radha, dear Krishna, please engage me in devotional service to you. Our happiness comes from serving devotionally, giving loving devotional service to the Lord. So the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is the repetition of asking the Supreme Personality of Godhead that we serve him from our hearts, not expecting anything So the Hare Krishna Mahamantra helps us to remember Krishna so that we can go back to Krishna. Not long ago, I think about a week or so, or maybe less, a god brother called Bali Maharaj left his body in Giranagri. And through WhatsApp, some of us that were not there got an opportunity to at least hear. We saw some videos, but hear audio of how the devotees helped him to move on. They were singing Hare Krishna Mahamantra. They were singing Hare Krishna Mahamantra repeatedly so that he could hear. Now, when a person is leaving, let's not even talk about a person that's dying. A person that's asleep. Asleep. As Rana Maharaj gave an example, you can try to wake them up using some of the senses. The sense of sight doesn't work because the person has shut their eyes. So if we just write a name on his name and you just put it in front of him, he's not going to wake up. But the one thing that would wake a person up is if you call their name. That means the sense of hearing is still operational even when the person is sleeping. Same thing when a person is leaving the body. The ears are the last to go. They still can hear up to a point. And if you call on Krishna's name, Krishna says, you will come to me. Now, it is important for us to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra so that we can remember Krishna at the time when we're supposed to leave the body. When the time comes, and everybody's time will come, some years now, some decades away, something not very long from now, we don't know. But the important thing is, and I asked my spiritual master for clarity on this one. So this is his answer. I was asking, how can we remember Krishna? Well, you chant repeatedly, so you remember Krishna. But the broad answer he gave to that is, what you meditate on the most, what you think about the most, is what you're most likely to remember at the time of death. What you think about the most. So it is important that we flood our minds with the holy name. It already has a potency to wake up the dormant soul and make us happy. It's not happiness from outside, but the happiness, it's called internal happiness. Krishna cranks up the devotion when we serve, and then we become happier internally that way. It is the best happiness. As a matter of fact, happiness is grouped in three categories in the nectar of devotion. There's happiness from material things, we call it sense gratification, but that's sort of happiness. And then the happiness that my body is after, trying to merge into the effulgence of the Lord, and disregarding the material world. And then there's happiness from serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there are three. And devotion tells us that the first two don't come anywhere near the third one. Loving devotional service is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, so some of us serve, and then we feel, well, yes, she jaganabade subhada marani ki, goditai ki. So we serve. And I remember one question that was put to His Holiness Radha Swami. There was one of his disciples that said that in the question and answer time. He said, Maharaj, I've been involved in Krishna consciousness for quite a while, but I don't seem to feel the ecstasy that people talk about. Is there something wrong with me? And so Maharaj started answering by asking him a question. So how long have you been in Krishna consciousness? And he said, 15 years. And Maharaj says, keep going. That was the answer he got. Keep going. The point about this, the point, the reason we brought it up is Krishna will make us happy in Krishna consciousness. No question. That will come. Sometimes we have to go through some changes here. We know the material world is like that. But the point is, if we are going to connect to God through bhakti, loving devotional service, then we are literally purchasing Krishna. We're putting ourselves in a situation where, out of love for Him, if we want some things to happen, that Krishna will actually adjust to make the devotee's wishes also come true in relating to Him. God wants this, but I also want this. As a matter of fact, the situation with Bhishma. Bhishma Dev, Krishna said He wasn't going to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra. He wasn't going to fight. But what happened? Bhishma wanted to show that Krishna was the best of fighters. And so Bhishma wanted Krishna to fight. Now, didn't Krishna say He wasn't going to fight? But Bhishma wanted Him to. So when a pure devotee of a Lord like Bhishma is, requests something or desires something, it's not that he wanted to go against Krishna, but he wanted to prove that since so many soldiers, so many generals are there, he wanted everybody to see how great Krishna is in the art of fighting. And so, what to do? Bhishma wants Krishna to show his prowess in fighting. And so it got to a point where it became a situation between Bhishma and Krishna himself, directly. So Krishna was driving the chariot for Arjuna, and Bhishma and Arjuna faced each other, and they were shooting arrows back and forth, and Bhishma gave Arjuna so much trouble, he almost killed Arjuna. And Krishna had to come to the aid of his friend, Arjuna. So he had picked up a wheel of one of the chariots and raced towards Bhishma to hurt him or to kill him. And that situation was a situation that Krishna, had broken his promise because he said he wasn't going to fight. So Krishna does in fact take into consideration the requests by his pure devotees. And pure devotees are in loving devotional service to Krishna, bhakti. And so bhakti is not given so easily by Krishna. We are trying to live our lives based on bhakti. And so we can go on and on and on and on and on, and gradually, as Srila Prabhupada says, gradually we will begin to feel happy in Krishna consciousness. And so it just doesn't come right away, because we have to prove to Krishna that we really want to serve Him in a loving way, according to His instructions also. According to His instructions. We don't serve the way we want. So that's called Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Bhakti by instructions to the spiritual master. So Krishna set it up that way. But the Lord Himself came also as a devotee. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita at the battle of Kurukshetra. What to do and what not to do, who we are and who He is, and how small we are compared to Him, and His powers in different situations. He described it the best. Questions that Arjuna asked, He answered. But then He returned about 500 years ago, now as a devotee, to show us the things that He talked about, how to be a devotee. So He acted as a devotee, He acted as a spiritual master, He initiated, and He also served, so that we will know. So it's not just a question of telling only, He came to show also. And then He taught His disciples, Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, and they wrote books from what the Lord Chaitanya taught them. And then He Himself left this Shishastika, the eight the prayers that are on 8 verses, and we're doing the 5th one today. So we try to find happiness or pleasure in the material world. And Srila Prabhupada gives a very simple example. As far as our souls are concerned, we belong in the spiritual world. So if our souls are with these bodies in the material world, then our souls are like a fish that's out of water. Because the real home of a soul is in the spiritual world. And since we are here in the material world, then we're not going to be comfortable. When the fish is taken out of water, no matter what you try to do to make the fish comfortable outside of the water, it's not going to be. It's not going to be. So a fish cannot be happy until it returns to its natural habitat. So the material world is actually a reformatory, a place where some people are living whatever they want to do. They're not going to get any better because they're just devoting themselves to their senses. And then there's the rest of people, although right now in the minority, as far as just the population of people who are Krishna conscious or trying to practice Krishna consciousness. Those are the ones that have turned their attention to Krishna. And if we live this life as best we can, associating with each other and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with feeling and with devotion, and also being careful not to offend each other, then the chances of our going back to the spiritual world, to our natural habitat, is greatly increased. So, yes, the prison system is here, prison is the material world, and Krishna has set it up that way. In fact, when you talk about prison, it's like, well, the prison that we know has walls, you're encaged, we cannot get out. But Krishna has done for us in this material world, those of us that are in prison, we don't see the walls. We know planets, but they are walls. But the walls is studied in physics as gravitational force. That's our wall. If you try to get out of this place, if you jump up, it pulls you back. If you go take a plane, it goes up in the air 5 miles, 35,000 feet, it still has to land. Even if you go on a spaceship, you still have to come back to this place. Because the body is tuned to this type of weather, environment. So, we are stuck here until the time comes for us to leave. And what we need to do is make sure that that time becomes a very profitable one for us, an opportunity to go back home. So now, we have in fact challenged Krishna. Krishna warned us, but we still have the spiritual world anyway. And now, Lord Chaitanya's prayer is telling us, we are eternal servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And now, our situation as devotees is we are undergoing rehabilitation, learning to love Krishna again. We have been in the material world, some of us, thousands, hundreds of thousands, or tens of thousands of lifetimes. We don't remember, but we've been here a long time. Matter of fact, if you're fortunate enough to have somebody who is talented in a metaphysical way to talk about things that have happened in previous lifetimes, and there are people who are gifted, there are people who can also be taught. Bhrigu Muni, the demigod Bhrigu Muni, can connect with those who go to a school to learn how to be able to talk about previous lives. And I myself have been fortunate to be around a student of Bhrigu Muni who happened to be my god sister. So I happen to know that, you know. And there's somebody else who also could read palms. And they all talked about different situations to me. And so the previous lives are there. And being in Krishna consciousness in the end is in fact the beginning of the opportunity to go back to the spiritual world. But they'll tell you things that happened before. And you will see that it's connected with something that you call your talent. That's all there. But again, this is all life here in the material world, and ultimately we have to go back home. And Lord Chaitanya is saying, we are eternal servants of the Lord, and we have put ourselves in a situation that's horrible by being here in the material world. Please connect me with you again. Connect me by putting me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. With that prayer, happiness will come. We need to not only say the prayer, but also chant the Hare Krishna mantra with feeling. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Final point we want to make is about the mind. Sometimes the mind puts us in situations we want to connect with the things going on here in this world, especially in the advanced countries like the U.S. that we're in. All kinds of products are put out, mostly electronic products these days, and sometimes we are led to think that that is going to provide us the convenience, and from the convenience will come happiness. Not true. As a matter of fact, people have realized that as things are made more electronic, there's more connections of us around the world electronically. But for those who work, they'll tell you that the computer has actually given us more work and not less work. The computer is fast in processing things. And so what have people done? Oh, you're an employee. You can punch a few things here with the mouse and the computer will do the calculation for you. Therefore, there's this much work that you should do. And so then people stay on the computer a long time. And now sometimes even work that could be done. Computer makes it faster, but then we spend more hours. Productivity has been forced on us to go way higher on the point that the computer is doing a good bit of the work. It is very taxing on the mind, on the brain. But that's the situation we're in now. But when we take the spiritual life seriously, as Lord Chaitanya is saying, I'm your eternal servitor. That's the mood of the body. Eternally yours. And our souls are Satchit Ananda. Eternal, full of knowledge, and full of bliss. So if we take the process seriously now, then we have an opportunity to go back to Godhead. And that's why we do what we do. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So there's time for a few questions.
Can you bring the other one?
This is what this is for.
I'll hold it.
Right now. Okay. All right. I'll deal with it. So are there any questions?
Hare Krishna, thank you for such a nice class and reminding us about how important it is to get out of this crazy world, because we are in prison, we just don't see it because everything looks so beautiful, so enticing. So thank you for reminding us. Actually, I have a question, and evidently it's the same question that Dear Krishna also had, so it's from both of us. He's on the altar. And so our question is, you mentioned that the amount of time that we spend thinking of whatever it may be, those are the thoughts that will be when we leave, if I'm paraphrasing your...
Predominant thoughts, yeah.
So, that sounds scary, because, so how can we prepare our minds that will allow us to think of the Lord at the time of death, because we are faced with so much of bombardment that surrounds us in this prison.
Very good question. The thoughts of a person at the time of death determines the next birth, the nature of the next birth. So how can we, if we want to go back, now that we understand don't belong here in the material world. And Krishna, Krishna's abode is where we need to go. You have to remember Krishna. How can we do that? There's a number of things. Associate with those who are Krishna conscious. Our association has to be with devotees. Because devotees will talk to us. They may talk to us about some material things, but they definitely will talk to us about Krishna. And when we talk to them about Krishna, they will feel comfortable having that kind of conversation. You cannot have that type of conversation with a non-devotee unless you want to preach to them and they're ready to hear. If they're not even ready to hear, you can't do much. So those that we hang around and socialize with, we're better off doing that with devotees. Second, we talked about that, but I'll just repeat that. Flood our minds with the holy name. The more that we advertise, to use the, you know, business term, advertise Krishna to our minds, the more likely we're going to remember Krishna. The more we chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, the more we remember Krishna. Third point, when we put in service, loving service, and also help the temple through charity, Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharaj Ki, Gonitai Ki. So when we help, we're in a position to be able to help, and we help the temple deal with its finances and so on, then Krishna realizes that we are, you know, putting Krishna in a very favorable situation because, or Krishna consciousness in a very favorable situation because the temple's duty is 100% Krishna. So if we support that way, that goes to our spiritual bank account. It adds on to it. So much so, and this is a very good question, so much so that even if we get to the point where we leave the body by accident, we didn't see it coming, and all of a sudden, and that's been described, it's quite bewildering. A person is alive and then boom, in a flash, they're dead. Some accident has come, they're dead. The subtle body will come out, the soul will come out of the body, and the subtle body has senses, and the person may not immediately realize that they even left the body. Except that if you try to talk to anybody, nobody will hear them. Nobody will want to hear them. And that's when they realize something is wrong. So many situations have been recorded by those who left their body temporarily and came back to life, and they had that experience. So it's there, but it's also known by many of these gurus who tell you about it. Now, if a person, why do we bring it up? If a person has been chanting the holy name of the Lord and serving, making that spiritual life a priority in their life, and they didn't even see death coming, death just kind of blindsided them, and all of a sudden, you know, some sort of thing hit the body and the soul is out, and the person is dead, Lord Chaitanya will force his image into the mind of the devotee at the time of death. We may not see it coming, but the Lord doesn't miss anything. And so there will be that thought just before that situation happens, but only for those who dedicated their lives to serving Krishna. So all parts of the opportunity to go back to Godhead are covered. It's just a question of what we do. So don't offend. Aparad means offenses. And when you offend, you don't get to go back to the spiritual world because they don't want people who go struggle in the spiritual world. It's all happiness. So we shouldn't get into that habit of offending. Associate with devotees so you can remember Krishna's name. Chant and definitely hear lectures for guidance. And when we chant and chant and chant, we can chant in your beats, but we also sing and hear bhajans and hear gitas. All of those go into the mind. They help us to remember Krishna. There is a very, very high chance. that will go back to the spiritual world. When a person is leaving, like I was talking about the situation of Bali Maharaj, my god brother, devotees came to sing the Hare Krishna Mahamantra so he could hear. That's why it's important to keep good relationship with devotees, because they are the ones at the time that you can't speak, at the time that you can't see, all of those senses are shutting down. You have to have good relationship with them for them to leave whatever they're doing, come to the place where you're living about. There's people who don't die suddenly, but dying over a period of time. They get an opportunity to hear the holy name from devotees. If we don't have good relationship with some devotee, there's a high chance that devotee won't come around when we leave. That's why it's important to maintain good relationship with everybody. At least cordial relationships, but definitely good relationship. And then devotees would be, they're merciful. But you have to give them a good relationship the whole time, not offending, so that they will take the time to come help for you to remember Krishna and go back to the spiritual world. Hare Krishna. Thanks for the question. It's a very good question. Any other questions? Are there any other questions or comments?
I wanted to say something with Bali Maharaj.
Okay.
Thank you. Is that and I do agree with your point that because we don't know in what condition we will be in or with whom we will be when we leave our bodies, it's so important to maintain good relationships. And Chandramali Swami spoke a little bit about Bali on his class last Thursday. He said the reason the whole world that knew Bali, including Radhana Swami actually, could love Bali because Bali loved everybody, even the children. You know, sometimes when the kids were small, I remember my kids when they were small. I mean, my kids knew him since they were babies. He would simply play the cardboard boy game, steal their burfi of their plates or their samosas and then put it back, you know. They just built a very nice relationship, but Bali had no enemies. And that's one thing that I've learned during his life, but, after he left the body last Thursday morning, Bali exuded all the Vaishnava qualities, all the 26 qualities. He really had them. So he was an amazing. And my spiritual master said that he gave us this instruction. It was just saying it, many years ago. He said, if any of you want to go back to God and catch all the bodies looking, he will take you back to Godhead. He was that elevated soul. So that was, I thank you for reminding us about how important it is to be in Sadhu Sangha and to hear together and to make good relationships for community building so that when we need them, they will come to us. It's so important. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any other comments? Alright. Vaishnava Thakur ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaura Premanande, Hari Hari Kapoor.